We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are paying a lot of attention to Canada. Some new laws taking effect very soon. A new marijuana law happening this week, but that's not what we're focused on right now. It has to do with your ability to cross the border, and that's why we're joined live in studio by attorney Jamie Fiegel, attorney with Fiegel and Carr, talking a little bit about some of the laws changing when it comes to entering Canada with a DUI or DWI. Jamie, thanks so much for taking the time out to join us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what do people need to know? What is changing? When is this all changing?
Well, the changes to the Canadian Criminal Code come into effect on December 18th of this year. So up until that point, everything will stay status quo. But what people have to understand is that any DWI conviction can render you inadmissible to Canada. So currently, a lot of people are gaining admissibility because the right questions aren't being asked and it's not coming to light for them. But that seems to be changing due to this new Canadian Criminal Code change. And so you can expect questions to be asked that can bring this to light and show that you are inadmissible to Canada.
And this is not just for somebody with obviously a current DWI you can't cross, but even if it was recent or long time ago, right? It could be decades old.
If it is decades old, you should still be able to be grandfathered in as being what we consider deemed rehabilitated. However, that deemed rehabilitated statute will not apply to anyone who gets a driving under the influence charge after December 18th.
Okay, so for people who may be getting into Canada now, even though they have a DWI on their record, if you get a DWI within the next, you know, few years or something like that, the same rules won't apply?
That's right. So anyone who gets a DWI after that December 18th will not be eligible for the deemed rehabilitated statute. If you have more than one DWI in your entire lifetime, you can never be deemed rehabilitated anyways. You have to file for rehabilitation at the consulate in order to overcome that inadmissibility.
Are people being told of this, or is this something that's just going to surprise them one day when they try to cross the border?
It's always been there. The only change is now it becomes a serious crime after December 18th. But as the officers in the booth are asking, have you ever been arrested? And this is coming up in the conversation, and they go into that secondary booth. That's when they're given the information of you're inadmissible, and this is the process you need to go through in order to overcome that.
What's the reason for this change? Does it have anything to do with their new marijuana law?
It has everything to do with the new marijuana law. So because Canada decided to make cannabis legal, there was the repercussion that people were concerned that people were going to drive under the influence of drugs. So as a result of that, Canada decided to change their criminal code as it relates to driving under the influence to a higher bar. And when they did that, it classified it in immigration terms up to a serious crime. And that's why we're having these immigration consequences from something that was meant to protect Canadian citizens from people driving under the influence of drugs.
So while they're loosening the marijuana laws, they're tightening the DWI laws.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. So this is all very interesting. And we are joined live in studio again by Jamie Fiegel, attorney with Fiegel and Carr, talking about some of these different laws regarding DWIs, DUIs, if you're headed into Canada. I want to get your thoughts, too, on exactly who needs to be watching out for this. So you kind of mentioned that it's the law changing for people who have a DWI or DUI going forward after this December. But for those people who have already maybe talked to an attorney, who have already filed, you know, the necessary paperwork, and they've been in the clear now for maybe a number of years, are there papers they need to file again because the laws are changing?
They shouldn't. We received information from the Minister of Immigration of Canada that says that it is his intention to have a policy to recognize those approvals and that deemed rehabilitation status of people who have had it prior. The one thing I would say, though, is people need to be informed of why they qualify. There is precedent case law to say that you should be able to qualify because your offense occurred prior to the Canadian Criminal Code change, prior to this increased scrutiny.
You're having a hearing, I believe it's tonight, right, to help Western New Yorkers with this?
Yes, we're having a open seminar at 6 p.m. tonight. You have to pre-register. You can call 810-2121 and register with Andrea. But we're having an open seminar to the public to be able to talk about what all of this means to them, and also, if they haven't been proactive so far, what it means that they need to do now so that they can be proactive.
And we are paying a lot of attention to Canada. Some new laws taking effect very soon. A new marijuana law happening this week, but that's not what we're focused on right now. It has to do with your ability to cross the border, and that's why we're joined live in studio by attorney Jamie Fiegel, attorney with Fiegel and Carr, talking a little bit about some of the laws changing when it comes to entering Canada with a DUI or DWI. Jamie, thanks so much for taking the time out to join us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what do people need to know? What is changing? When is this all changing?
Well, the changes to the Canadian Criminal Code come into effect on December 18th of this year. So up until that point, everything will stay status quo. But what people have to understand is that any DWI conviction can render you inadmissible to Canada. So currently, a lot of people are gaining admissibility because the right questions aren't being asked and it's not coming to light for them. But that seems to be changing due to this new Canadian Criminal Code change. And so you can expect questions to be asked that can bring this to light and show that you are inadmissible to Canada.
And this is not just for somebody with, obviously, a current DWI you can't cross, but even if it was recent or long time ago, right? It could be decades old.
It could be decades old. If it is decades old, you should still be able to be grandfathered in as being what we consider deemed rehabilitated. However, that deemed rehabilitated statute will not apply to anyone who gets a driving under the influence charge after December 18th.
Okay, so for people who may be getting into Canada now, even though they have a DWI on their record, if you get a DWI within the next, you know, few years or something like that, the same rules won't apply?
That's right. So anyone who gets a DWI after that December 18th will not be eligible for the deemed rehabilitated statute. If you have more than one DWI in your entire lifetime, you can never be deemed rehabilitated anyways. You have to file for rehabilitation at the consulate in order to overcome that inadmissibility.
Are people being told of this, or is this something that's just going to surprise them one day when they try to cross the border?
It's always been there. The only change is now it becomes a serious crime after December 18th. But as the officers in the booth are asking, have you ever been arrested? And this is coming up in the conversation, and they go into that secondary booth. That's when they're given the information of you're inadmissible, and this is the process you need to go through in order to overcome that.
What's the reason for this change? Does it have anything to do with their new marijuana law?
It has everything to do with the new marijuana law. So because Canada decided to make cannabis legal, there was the repercussion that people were concerned that people were going to drive under the influence of drugs. So as a result of that, Canada decided to change their criminal code as it relates to driving under the influence to a higher bar. And when they did that, it classified it in immigration terms up to a serious crime. And that's why we're having these immigration consequences from something that was meant to protect Canadian citizens from people driving under the influence of drugs.
So while they're loosening the marijuana laws, they're tightening the DWI laws.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. So this is all very interesting. And we are joined live in studio again by Jamie Fiegel, attorney with Fiegel and Carr, talking about some of these different laws regarding DWIs, DUIs, if you're headed into Canada. I want to get your thoughts, too, on exactly who needs to be watching out for this. So you kind of mentioned that it's the law changing for people who have a DWI or DUI going forward after this December. But for those people who have already maybe talked to an attorney, who have already filed, you know, the necessary paperwork, and they've been in the clear now for maybe a number of years, are there papers they need to file again because the laws are changing?
They shouldn't. We received information from the Minister of Immigration of Canada that says that it is his intention to have a policy to recognize those approvals and that deemed rehabilitation status of people who have had it prior. The one thing I would say, though, is people need to be informed of why they qualify. There is precedent case law to say that you should be able to qualify because your offense occurred prior to the Canadian Criminal Code change, prior to this increased scrutiny.
You're having a hearing, I believe it's tonight, right, to help Western New Yorkers with this?
Yes, we're having a open seminar at 6 p.m. tonight. You have to pre-register. You can call 810-2121 and register with Andrea. But we're having an open seminar to the public to be able to talk about what all of this means to them, and also, if they haven't been proactive so far, what it means that they need to do now so that they can be proactive.
We're joined live in studio by Jamie Fiegel, attorney with Fiegel & Carr, talking about some changes at the border. If you want to head into Canada, what you need to know. I want to kind of maybe take a step back here and talk about just the law that always has been there. I think a lot of people knew something was up. If you had a DUI, you had a DWI, there was that question, wasn't there something, you know, about Canada where I can't get into Canada or they might deny me entry into Canada? I feel like nobody really knew for sure what was going on. So what has the law been regarding that?
That's so true. So the law is that 5 years after the completion of your sentence with one driving under the influence conviction, you're eligible to file for rehabilitation at the consulate. But that's a pretty hefty application to file. 10 years after the completion of the sentence for the conviction, you were eligible to be deemed rehabilitated. So that's when no paperwork needs to be filed. You just need to prove it's been 10 years, you completed the sentence, and then you should be able to convince an officer right at the border that you're admissible again.
Okay, but that is changing now.
It's changing for
December
anyone,
18th.
Yeah, anyone after December 18th, that will not be available. But there is an argument to be made that anyone prior to should be able to maintain their admissibility.
So looking at what's not available going forward, it's basically that part where you don't have to jump through hoops, right? I mean, can you still be allowed into Canada? Just you have to go through either whether it's you or another attorney or file some sort of paperwork, even with the changing rules?
Yes. So there are temporary options to be able to enter Canada if you're inadmissible. You need a compelling reason, though. So you need a family member that's there or a business reason to be able to enter. But if you can show that you have a compelling reason to be able to enter into Canada, there are temporary options to overcome that inadmissibility.
Like you have tickets to a hockey game?
No.
How about I'm going to my cottage?
Sometimes.
Okay.
It depends. Those would be things to say for a rehabilitation application. I enjoy Canada. It was part of my life. I had a cottage there. My family did vacations there my whole life. That might be something for more of a long-term option filing at a consulate.
Bagged milk is the best.
And expensive. But no, those reasons would not be something for it. Flying out of Toronto is because it's convenient to get to Europe. That's not a reason. Also, it doesn't matter if you're a passenger in a car or you're the driver of a car or you go in by bus, you go in by plane. All of these inadmissibility is every type of transportation that you could do.
Ooh, so being a passenger, I thought this was only for the driver.
No, so you could be a passenger in the back seat of the car. It doesn't matter. Your body is inadmissible to the country.
Jamie Fiegel is our live in-studio guest and attorney with Fiegel & Carr talking about some of the changes to what's going on at the border as a law changes in Canada this December regarding DWIs, DUIs, and your ability to enter Canada. Jamie, a lot of questions coming in about what if you're with Nexus? What if you have one of these Nexus passes? Do the same changes apply to you?
Yes. So that's a really good question because there's people who are trying to go through who call and ask us that exact question. It will most likely come up, but it is your responsibility as a trusted traveler program to alert Nexus for any changes. So when it's as little as an address and as most as a arrest or a conviction, since it is a trusted traveler program, they are continuously checking the databases on those people. So it will come up more likely for a Nexus person than maybe someone who's just driving over with a regular ID.
Let's talk about your rights at the border when it comes to crossing. What are your rights?
You have no rights. So you give up your rights when you get to the border, both on the Canadian and the U.S. side. So we all think about when someone's arrested, you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. This is not the case. You actually have no right to an attorney. You do not have the right to remain silent. You do not have the right to privacy of your electronic devices, computers, cell phones, nothing. So if an officer asks you, I would like to get into your computer, you have to let them in. If you don't, then you will be detained and for an indefinite amount of time. If you're placed under arrest, that's when you have a right to an attorney. But until you're placed under arrest, you have no rights.
What do you usually recommend people do if they find themselves in that situation? If they're asked for, say, you know, their cell phone passcode, something like that.
Well, I'd like to think that they don't have anything to hide. So if that's the case, then hand it over because there's nothing that you're doing that would be wrong. What they're looking for is there any evidence of illegal activity? Is there any evidence that you might be working without proper work authorization? There used to be a really popular show about Canadian Border Services Agency where they would go through these types of scenarios. And you would see on TV that they were taking someone's computer and logging in and looking through their emails for these types of things, or taking their luggage and taking it apart and undoing every single part of that looking for some sort of contraband. So it's not unknown that you don't have these rights that you would normally have if you were on your own soil and, say, driving down the road and a policeman pulls you over. But it's very unsettling to people when they go through this in secondary inspection to think, well, wait a minute, you don't have the right to search me. Don't you need some sort of warrants?
Yes.
Yes. No, you don't. You just need a small probable cause. Is there something that makes me feel like I should
take your phone from you right away?
In primary, like the first booth where you drive,
I'm thinking
probably
no, secondary.
They could if they feel like they have cause to do so. Usually it doesn't go that way. It starts off as a conversation, and they want you to feel comfortable because when people feel comfortable, they're more likely to be able to divulge information that they wouldn't normally. So they try to do that as a conversation to see what they can find. If someone's fumbling about why they're going or what their background is, officers are trained to feel that and see those verbal and physical cues, and they'll take it from there. So things that are going to be things that are need to be hidden, they could be found. But I mean, if you've got nothing to hide, it's really not a big burden to hand over a device.
We're in studio this morning with Jamie Fiegel. She's an attorney with Fiegel and Carr. Change is coming to the border. Canada tightening its DWI laws. This concerns DUI, DWI, and whether you're trying to get over to Canada starting December 18th. This is when this change takes effect. Now, Jamie, we were talking, there's a section that we're talking about where you can be grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. This is for a previous DWI, right?
Right. So any offense that occurred prior to December 18th should be grandfathered in as a offense that is looked at under the current Canadian regulations.
Okay. And how do you do that? I mean, how do you yourself get grandfathered in?
Well, the best way to be able to present that to the border is you need to be able to speak to an officer about why. It seems kind of counterintuitive. They seem to be the ones that you would think would have to prove you inadmissible, but that's not the truth. The officers don't have to prove you inadmissible. You have to prove yourself admissible. So what we've been doing with some clients that have previously been considered deemed rehabilitated, who need to enter for business reasons or family reasons, things that are really important to them. We've been creating a packet, in essence, of a legal argument with the documentation and evidence that they need in order to prove to an officer that they're admissible. And that's really important. It's important for you to be empowered to know why you're able to enter, rather than trying to be on the defensive with an officer and not really understand.
And I imagine there's probably going to be a lot of questions, not only amongst people trying to get in, but amongst the people who are in charge of letting you in along the border, whether it's grandfathered in, something like that, the 10-year period, or the new law. Are there a lot of questions at the border of exactly, all right, who are we supposed to allow in? What paperwork do they need? What's going on here?
We're seeing a lot of clients come to us with stories of inconsistencies. They're hearing this information on the radio, on TV, and they're going over to Canada asking a border agent, well, so what am I supposed to do? What are these changes? And some border officers have a little bit more experience and maybe on a higher level to be able to say, well, if your offense occurred prior, you're probably grandfathered in. But others say, I don't know what you're talking about. And really, this is because this is a criminal code change. So this is something that is a trickle down to immigration change. So while it's not a direct immigration code change, it affects immigration and admissibility because of the change in the criminal code. And not all, they're called BSOs over on the Canadian side, not all of them in that primary booth understand that this is what's happening and how it's going to affect. Because really, if you think about it, it's huge to us, but it's a very small section of what they do in as a total.
It's getting harder to cross the border. Will be changes coming with DWI conviction starting in December. Someone with a previous DWI conviction may be denied entry into Canada. Jamie Fiegel from Fiegel & Carr is in studio with us. Lots of questions about this. And the biggest one is coming on our text board from people asking, how do they get deemed rehabilitated? which would clear them to get through customs.
Mm-hmm. Deemed rehabilitated is more like a state. So if 10 years has passed since the end of your sentence for one driving under the influence conviction, and I think you mentioned it could be a DWAI all the way up to a DWI felony. So when 10 years has passed since the end of that sentence, you're eligible to be looked at as deemed rehabilitated. And in order to do that, you need to be able to provide the officer evidence that, one, you only have one driving under the influence charge, and two, that the 10 years has passed. We're going to hold a seminar tonight at the Buffalo Marriott here near UB, and you have to register with Andrea, 810-2121. But during the seminar, I'm going to go through that deemed rehabilitated. How can you do that? What can you expect? And you need to be able to provide that evidence. What evidence should I provide to be able to show that?
So it's not just a certain paperwork that you're looking for.
No, the easiest way, because we're lucky to have the borders here, you need to be able to just have the paperwork ready to provide to an officer. And unfortunately, it's kind of like a lifetime thing that you need to be prepared for. So if you go through six times and an officer doesn't say anything, and on the seventh time an officer says, have you ever been arrested? Yes, I have. Well, when was it? What happened? What was your sentence? You need to be prepared with all that documentation. So you need to bring it with you and have it with you every time you cross into Canada.
I want to make sure we reset for those who weren't listening at the top when you joined us at first. Laws changing in Canada. It all starts this December. And, you know, we've been talking a lot over the past year about some of the tensions between the U.S. and Canada. This has nothing to do with that, right?
No, this all has to do with the change of the cannabis law. So this change to the criminal code making the driving under the influence charge in Canada a serious offense is what's having these immigration consequences. So I think it's important, too, to note that your DWI doesn't have to happen in Canada. It doesn't have to happen in the U.S. It can happen anywhere in the world that would render you inadmissible. So sometimes people get the misimpression that it has to have occurred in Canada. I don't have any in Canada offenses. That's not the case. And if there is a driving under the influence conviction and some other conviction, not necessarily two DWIs or a DWAI and a DWI, say it's a possession charge of something over the amount that's allowed in Canada, that can be something that could render you inadmissible for a lifetime as well. It can be a DWI combined with something else.
And is there a way to get out of that, or not to get out of it, but to get across the border?
Well, we would have to do an evaluation for that person and get a background check, figure out what they were convicted under, and then equate that to the Canadian criminal code. Once we do that, there's sometimes an argument we can make to say, if this did occur in Canada, it wouldn't render the person inadmissible. So that's kind of the balance we have to do to be able to make that argument that someone is or isn't inadmissible.
So bottom line, people who have a DWI in the past, maybe they've been able to get across the border no problem over the past 5-10 years or something like that, what should they be doing between now and December to prepare themselves for this change?
They should figure out if they're inadmissible, and if they are, what their timing looks like for relief. And if they are deemed rehabilitated, then they should work on having that paperwork with them to be able to cross into Canada to present to an officer. So they need to know why they're admissible and what is needed to be able to prove that admissibility.
Oh, Jamie, we've learned a lot. Thank you so much for coming in and spending an hour with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Jamie Fiegel with Fiegel and Carr.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.